dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers.
I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source codes, ISOs, RANs, SIP, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Yes, you can believe it. You are hearing me, Stank Dog, on Binary Revolution Radio episode number 191. Finally coming to you today, April 10th, 2007. We finally got a new episode up. We had some delays there, some things that came up that were a little bit out of our control, but we are back, at least for this week. I'm not sure what next week's going to hold, but I guess let's talk about that in a couple seconds. First of all, I should mention that my co-host today is absolutely nobody. I am doing this episode Millennium Falcon style, baby. That's right, flying Han Solo up in this biatch. Got no co-host with me, so you are stuck with the dog on this episode. And we do have a few topics to talk about. I don't need no stinking co-host. Although the show would probably be much, much better if I had one. But, you know, we're going to do what we can do. And today actually literally is April 10th, a Tuesday. I am recording this just before we go live because I did have an opening in my schedule to actually get one done. So, few things to talk about in housekeeping before we go there, though, that we are in the process, or actually hopefully finished at this point, moving servers once again. Yes, I know we did this, two or three months ago, but, well, quite frankly, the hosting company that we are slash were with was just not cutting the mustard. They weren't giving us what we expected from the server, from the hosting, from the support side of things. And physically the server was fine. It had enough power to get by in the short term. But we kind of we knew that this was going to be short term, maybe last another year or so on that server before we were going to frankly have to look at possibly upgrading again as the site continues to grow. So we kind of killed two birds with one stone by finding another hosting company. First of all, we upgraded the server once again. We have even more power, more memory. So we should be good on this server for a good couple of years, if not longer. So hopefully we will be staying put if the second part of this equation comes into play. And that is the fact that we went with a total managed solution when we switched servers this time. That is to say that in the past we've been doing self-management. Now, we all know Linux pretty well, and I have a few years of experience, self-taught, in maintaining and managing this server over the years, but we've gotten to the point where we've grown so big that the time that it takes to maintain a server like this and the constant monitoring and watching of it is just something that is really starting to wear on me. It's starting to dig into my time that I need to produce well for shows like this one. I haven't done a lot of writing in a while, and I've got a ton of articles in my head that I want to get down on paper, creating content for Hack TV, everything. You know, it actually slows me down from actually producing content, which is what I enjoy doing. So when we switched to this last hosting company, we were looked for only managed services, and we had an offer of total management of the server, and I guess long story short, without going into details, because technically we still have not canceled that server quite yet, so without going into details of who, where, and why, we'll just say that it did not live up to expectations. So we have shopped around and found a good deal from a company called Caro.net, so you will see probably us talking about that in the forums and on the sites occasionally. hopefully our experience with them will be better. I can tell you that so far it is very much, and they have taken very good care of us on working with us on this new server, giving us a good price, giving us great support so far. So you'll have to forgive me if I will be pimping them out for a while. They are actually going to be kind of a sponsor, if you will, of the show. So, that being said, let's move into the show itself and actually jump right into the mailbag. And our first email. Now, you got to realize also that we're backed up on email, so we're going to have a pretty large email section on this week's show. But our first email comes from Swooz, which is kind of a fun name to say. Swooz, S-W-O-O-Z, who says, Stank and featured co-host or substitute host. First of all, you're owned, bitch. You don't have a co-host this week. It's just me, biatch. There, get that out of my system. Swoo says, I've been a faithful listener since episode circa 90 and have been listening to another internet radio podcast or whatever since 1996, but have more recently switched to BinRev due to the lack of tech talk, and the emphasis on politics on the other show. Yes, the other show does put a lot of emphasis on politics, and we try to avoid it here, so that's all well and good. Now, you know, that being said, you don't have to switch to BinRev. You can listen to both. I mean, I still listen to other shows. I'm not gonna assume what you're referring to, but I still listen to other shows sometimes when I have the time. So I appreciate the sentiment nonetheless. Now, Swooz goes on to say, I just wanted to write a quick note to say how much I'm anticipating the next episode. Well, yeah, you might want to second guess that after you hear me talking all by myself for the next hour. I check your website every night in hopes to listen to your Hackcast before retiring for the evening, and you are missed. Idea for a show? I like to see the show on buffer overflows, explanation of the stack, and just good conversation going on about that. Just a thought. Keep up the good work, fellas. Okay, well, thank you, Swooz, for that. I appreciate it. As far as the show topics now, we've discussed that exact topic in the past, but the problem with it is just very, very difficult to explain verbally. When we have just the radio as a medium, that's really a topic that needs some visual aid, some illustrations, and code possibly to really get the point across. We are, however, going to give it a shot sometime. It's on the list of things we've been wanting to talk about for quite some time. We just haven't figured out exactly how to organize it and put it together into an episode of the show. I know a lot of the longtime listeners have heard reference to my show novels, the show notes that I write before every show. I sit down. I mean, even tonight, quite honestly, I'm doing the show by myself. I could have completely lied and just flown by the seat of my pants, but I did sit down and put together show notes. It took me about a half hour, 45 minutes to put them together for even a show as short and as straightforward as this, doing it by myself. And when we have a more complex topic, it's going to take much longer because I will sit with the co-host and we will organize and say, okay, what would be the best way to ease our way into the topic, make sure everybody's brought up to speed, make sure we don't leave anybody behind. You know, what do we need to explain before we explain the stack? What do we need to explain before we talk about buffer overflows? What do they have to understand? What concepts and things do they have to know? You can't just jump into buffer overflow, so you got to bring everybody up to speed. Those are factors to take into account. So that is something that a lot of people might not realize or take for granted, that we put time into trying to make the show flow well. We could just turn the mic on and start talking about it, but that's not really what we like to do on BinRev Radio. We try to be organized. We may seem unorganized. We may cuss a lot. We may go off track sometimes, but we do try to take some pride into putting together a show that flows, that's organized, that gets the topics and points across, and, yeah, sometimes we fail, but at least we try. So, yeah, it is on our list of topics to talk about. I think we're probably going to have to yell at Verbal to co-host that one with us. That's something that he would probably be really good at explaining. So we did set the stage for this, however. It was episode 167, where we talked about IP switching, about TCP/IP, and some networking concepts. So that would be a prerequisite episode. So certainly go back and listen to that, because that is something you would definitely need to understand before we go into another deeper topic. And we'll jump into the second email this week that comes from Virtual. Virtual said that the last episodes get on the air because I did not see them uploaded on the website. Also, do you need someone to do show notes? I am new to the BR community, but am ready to pitch in. So, two emails. We'll go ahead and talk about it now. The story with the show is pretty simple. It's not all that complex. As the regular listeners know, we've been basically switching co-hosting duties off for season four. Season one and two, I pretty much did myself. I drove all of those episodes, co-hosted all of those. Season three came along, and I kind of had a life change, new job, moving, that kind of thing. So the show was handed over to Black Ratchet, who did the show for season three, and into season four. And towards the end of season three, I think it was, and into season four, we kind of realized that he had some life-changing events, and same type situation, and moving and whatnot. So we both realized that it might be better if we started to split the show up and try to share the hosting duties, and we've done that pretty successfully so far through end of season three and so far through season four. And I had some deadlines, have some deadlines that are still ongoing right now as we speak, and I knew in advance that this was going to be a rough month for me, so we were going to tag out and let Black Ratchet take the show back over. But unfortunately, he had an emergency come up at the last minute as well. And normally when that happens, I will step in and fill in, even though I'm booked up or it's someone else's turn, I'll still step up. And this was just a case where I simply could not do it. I'm working late. I'm not getting home until late into the evenings, and it's just I haven't had the time to dedicate to putting together notes and topics and even physically recording. It's just been that tight on time for me. I've been traveling, which I do quite frequently for work, so it's just been rough, and that's the simple answer to why there haven't been shows. Believe me, I take pride in putting the show out every week, and then when we did occasionally miss one, for reasons explained earlier, I would try to fill in and do a double back-to-back episode and catch us up, but not going to happen this week. Sorry, guys, you're stuck with this one episode, and you're stuck with me for it. So that's all there is. That's the story, and we will hopefully try to get back on some schedule. I do not know what the future of the show is. I'll be honest with you. I do not know what we're going to do since it's kind of tough to do these every week. I would have a tendency to think that at some point we are probably going to switch to biweekly format if we continue after season four. So those are decisions that we are all working on right now. So basically getting switched over to the new server reduces a lot of headaches for us, so we will be talking about that within the DDP and figuring out who's available for what and take it from there. So we will keep everyone in the loop. Just tune in to BenRev Radio, and we will let you know as soon as we possibly can. And I think as far as the show notes go, that's another thing that I've fallen behind on. I believe that that I do have some show notes from Enigma, who has sent me show notes, and I just haven't put them all up yet, so I think we're fairly caught up on those, but I appreciate the offer. So that's something else I will have on my list of things to do. Let me tell you, this is not a list. This is like a novella of things to do. This is just a complete, I mean, I don't know when I'll ever get everything done that's on my list of things to do, which is why it's always very helpful when people pitch in and help. So I appreciate the offer. In this case, I think we're okay, but I will keep your email address and get back to you if I decide to take you up on that. And our next email this week, isn't it suck to have to hear only my voice? Like, at this point is where, you know, somebody else would chime in with their thoughts and opinions, and we'd, you know, have a little conversation, but you're stuck with me. And another thing that kind of sucks about this, I'm finding out, is that, like, you know, when someone else begins to talk, that's when I'll take my opportunity to have a sip of my sweet iced tea, or in this case, I don't know why I'm still on this Kool-Aid kick, so I'm having some cherry Kool-Aid, but I can't really stop and take a drink because you're going to get a lot of dead air, which is like the cardinal sin of radio. Of course, I say and aw a lot on the show too, which is the other cardinal sin, so, you know, who really cares, but kind of makes it a little bit difficult, but I am going to take a sip of some cherry Kool-Aid and continue on to our next email from Prince Vegeta, who has emailed us before. Prince Vegeta says, "Dear host and that other guy." Well, you got owned too, bitch! There is no other guy, it's me! Deal with it! Prince Vegeta says, "Unlike Linux, a Windows OS tends..." Okay, also keep in mind, everyone, that these are emails from past episodes. We've been gone for a few weeks, so these are going to be all over the place. They're going to run the gamut of topics. This one is, let's see, where was I? "Unlike Linux, A Windows OS tends to self-destruct after installing it. So from the moment you install it, it's in a constant process of alteration. I mean that with more programs you install and the more stuff you do, it starts to work slower and slower. So no matter what precautions you take when installing programs, the Winbox just dies and you have to reinstall it at least once every 2 months. Yowza, 2 months, man, that's rough. I hate having to reinstall Windows. I do it as rarely as possible, but I do know people that make it a thing they do every 6 months. I've never heard 2 months. That's kind of drastic, I guess, but anyway, Prince Vegeta goes on to say, that means installing, configuring, etc., lots of boring work. One solution is VMware. The other one is a drive cloning program. I use two of these. The first is called Drive Image XML. It's free, and you can add it as a plugin for your BART PE disk and run it straight off your BART PE Win CD in case something goes wrong with your PC. Wow, did I just throw out like the entire fucking alphabet on that or what? I install Windows XP and all my favorite programs. I consider all my settings just the way I like it. I scan my disk for Vista, which is viruses, intruders, spyware, trojans, and adware. That's an unfortunate acronym that I'm sure Microsoft hopes that doesn't stick. I defragment my drive. That would be extremely counterproductive. I might make that as a joke April Fool's program, a refragmenter. Let's see. I defragment my drive. I boot BART PE and back it up. 6 gigs of Win goodness equals 1 2-gig backup file. By the way, you need to store the backup file on another partition. Because this copies my disk sector by sector, if I restore my backup, which takes about 10 minutes, guess what? All my programs installed and configured in my HDD is defragmented. Great. There's just one small problem. The partition that you back up must be the same as the one you plan on restoring. And I mean exactly the same. So if you decide the second program is... So if you decide to permanently modify your partition size, you need to restore the backup, resize the disk, and make the backup again. Yeah, that's also a common refrain I hear from people that are using Ghost and stuff like that. I think more recent versions of Ghost are better, but the very early version of Ghost before Symantec bought it also had that problem where they had to be identical with the drives when they were restoring them. And there were also problems with Windows and their licensing issues where you were installing it to something that had even a fractional tiny bit of hardware difference. It would unlicense itself and force you to handle that problem, which was a pain in the rear end. Let's see, where was I? So if you decide to permanently modify your partition size, you need to restore the backup, resize, and make the backup again. The second program is not free, and it's called, okay, I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this, Acronis, A-C-R-O-N-I-S, Drive Image Something. I guess he doesn't know the name either, so it's okay if I can't pronounce it. I use this because it can also do Linux FS. I guess it's better, but I like the free one. For example, this week I want Slackware installed, but next week I need SUSE. It's a great way for switching OSs on a single partition. For example, this week I want Slackware installed, but next week I need SUSE. Hope this was helpful for those who lose precious time reinstalling that bloated piece of trash, in parentheses, called Windows. So, wow, boy, did I stumble my way through that email. But, yeah, no other guy this week, so you got owned. Everybody got owned an email this week. But thanks for the tip. This is obviously a follow-up on our virtual computing episode. We talked about VMware. We talked about virtual environments and all the different uses of them. So, yeah, we talked about it on the show, and that's one of many uses that people can have. Home users can take advantage of virtual PC, virtual computing, at a performance hit. But businesses really, really love it. And it's become even bigger buzzword each passing day because businesses that have the big cash, they can buy like a nice big high-end box and run all these virtual images of all the environments that they could imagine and have a lot of boxes for testing and not actually have to have the physical box in around cluttering up their data center and, you know, paying for each individual box adds up. It ends up being much, much cheaper if they can buy one high-end machine and then virtualize everything. So businesses love this a lot more right now. Home users, certainly it has its uses, just like the one that Prince Vegeta described, and a lot of testing we can do, a lot of, well, from the hacking standpoint or security standpoint, you can do a lot of attack and defense methods on your own systems safely And if you screw something up, you know, you can simply go back to the image. So we've talked about a lot of that, so we won't go into that too much detail. You can go back and find that episode. The other thing is that, oh man, what did I do here? I cut my email all up. But the other thing is that as PCs do become more and more and more powerful like they are right now, the performance hit that users at home take is really dwindling. I mean, you can certainly do a lot of stuff at home without having a huge huge performance hit. So it's kind of interesting that to see, I guess, how long it's going to take before we can really start running a lot of virtual environments at home. I'm sure people can email me and tell me, yeah, I'm running 3, 4, 5, 10, whatever. I know NotTheory, of course, is a huge supporter and proponent of it, and he uses multiple environments. But I think it's really going to roll out. Right now, it's just people who are really realize and see the potential of it, but it's going to really roll out for common everyday users, I think, probably within the next year, as PCs become more powerful and the prices continue to drop on the hardware. Virtual computing is definitely the wave of the future. So, thank you for that email. Next email this week comes from, well, we're going to call him KJ. KJ says, live USB are easy. Okay, and this is a follow-up to the episode I did with Nubix about USB key applications, making your own USB key with lots of hacking goodness on it. KJ says, live USB are easy to make them Linux live USB. Linux distros can be as small as 30 megs, and I'm not talking about a bash plus kernel plus GNU tools and that's it. I'm talking about a whole full desktop with window manager, browser, office suite, network monitor, partitioners, etc. So here is the rundown. Gparted, USB live and is just 30 megs. Damn small Linux, USB live is just 50 megs. Puppy Linux, USB Live is just 75 megs with Opera / SeaMonkey, and Pen Linux use for 128 meg USB. You can also have a USB Live derivative. So, that is another cool tip. And like I said, I know we did the episode with Mubix because Mubix has a few projects over on the Hack 5 site on making like a couple of killer USB drives, tons of apps that you can put on there, how useful they can be, scripting a lot of things, so, which is very, very cool. But I wouldn't mind seeing like a thread or two in the BinRef forums of several different USB drive projects for several different purposes, like the one in this email, like maybe another drive focusing on security apps, maybe one for productivity apps, et cetera, kind of like a recipe book for USB devices, where you list the file sizes, like exactly like we did in this email, list the file sizes and all the files that you would put on there, the size of the drive that you're dealing with. Because, you know, the other thing is not everybody can go out and buy like a 2-plus gigabyte USB key. You know, and we don't all have the money, A. And B, you know, how much, it's kind of cool to see how much lateness can be thrown onto a small drive. Like, I know some, probably a lot of our listeners have even 32, 64, 128 megabyte keys laying around, or maybe that we even use on a daily basis. But especially, I've got some old 64s, I think, that are laying around here or there that I can't really put big files on. They're not too awful useful unless you're just transferring some documents here or there. But it would be cool to see within that limitation what kind of a distribution or what kind of tools or what kind of theme you could put on one key like that. So within a limitation list, you know, what cool window manager you could put on there, what cool apps you might put on there, and see if you can put together, you know, even maybe name it, maybe go so far as to pimp your USB key. You can paint it, put logos, give it a name, put the whole recipe out there. We'll have a page dedicated to it. Yeah, okay, I'm getting a little corny. But point being, it would be kind of cool to have like a recipe book of different people and what they've done with their drives and maybe learn from each other, maybe put some, take that and develop your own derivatives and your own drives. So they don't necessarily have to be live, USB live bootable Linux ones. They could be, you know, Windows apps, they could be Linux apps, like I said. Anything that you guys can think of, I think would be cool to read and see. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, most of the listeners of this show do a lot of roll their own applications, roll their own stuff. But a lot of people, let's be honest, a lot of people out there go out and search Google, and they just want step-by-step directions. copy file A, copy file B, copy file C, install to hard drive, follow these steps, and install to USB key. A lot of people want those written directions simplified like a recipe that they can follow. So I think that might be cool, a cool thing that a lot of people would be interested in. Hey, maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? I've been wrong before. I was wrong once. Well, I thought I was wrong, but I was actually mistaken. Yeah, think about that recursion. Next email this week is from Killer Office Monkey. K-O-M, Killer Office Monkey. Killer Office Monkey says, "Hello, random Ben Rev hosts. I have a question. I asked this question in the forums, but nobody could give me an answer because of the number of connections. The question I have, is there a way to link, say, 5 different interweb connections, 2 Ethernet, 3 wireless, to make them as one connection so I can take 5 to 6 megabit connection and use it as one big pipe? Any suggestions?" Okay, first of all, you got own two because hosts with an S is plural, and I am flying solo, so eat it. Let's see. As far as the topic at hand, I'm going to go ahead and qualify this answer up front by saying that I'm talking out of my ass here, okay? But that being said, the first thing I would ask is exactly where and in what capacity you're trying to do this. What I mean is, if you're asking about whether you can soup up like your home Windows box to use multiple resources, then the quick answer is no, it doesn't really work like that. If that's what you're shooting for, I mean, imagine like if you're war driving, you got a bunch of wireless access points, or you're in an airport or someplace with lots of internet, wireless internet connections that you could all use at the same time. You could compound them all, use all that bandwidth. Never heard of anybody doing that. It's just not possible for multiple reasons. Now, I'm not saying not completely possible. I'm saying not easily possible. And pretty realistically, I think I can say that. It's for multiple reasons, but mostly it's because you have multiple IP addresses involved because those are independent networks that don't communicate with each other. You could possibly solve the IP addresses with multiple cards, and each card connecting to a different network. But even then, asking those cards to cooperate with each other, the network stack doesn't exactly work that way. I don't think it could exactly handle that. You know, you've heard probably us talk about on the show before, having 2 network cards in your laptop, for example, where one is bringing data in, and one is feeding data back out, a man-in-the-middle type attack. Those are 2 independent connections of each other. One's transferring data to the other one. They're not actually doubling up the bandwidth by connecting to the same network. They're 2 separate things. So it's not exactly, if that's what you're shooting for, then the short answer is no. You can't really easily do that. Now, again, if anybody listening knows otherwise, by all means, write in and let me know. But I don't think there's an easy way to do this, if there's even a way at all, especially Windows. Now, on the other hand, if you're talking about running like a network data center or something for a company, then the answer is kinda yes. And it's yes, but I say kinda because this is where a lot of the higher-end networking equipment comes into play. I'm not sure about the wireless part of this again. The wireless part of your equation, honestly, wireless is really just a different medium that still stems from some sort of wired link. So unless you have access to control that incoming wired link, the wireless is just another kind of segment along the way. It's kind of relaying it. So it's not exactly as easy. Now, it may be possible, but I've just never seen the two mixed like that. So I actually would be interested to hear if anybody's ever successfully mixed the two, but I don't think it's certainly not common. Now, to the wired part, on the other hand, yeah, that's exactly what data centers do. You got multiple pipes coming in. And, you know, if you need to have more bandwidth, you need to upgrade, you add another pipe and add another line coming in from the phone company or whatever. And you have redundancy in there as well. So, yeah, this is exactly what higher-end data centers do. But that's not exactly your typical Ethernet connection. You said Ethernet. That's not your normal everyday Ethernet connection. These are fat digital pipes that are using high-end multiplexers and switches and T1000 and Decepticons and shit like that. It's something that's very high-end. Again, it's something that's not simple to set up for a small office or a home office or something like that. Not, again, in my opinion. Unless you happen to have some high-end equipment laying around that'll handle that. So, honestly, that's the best that I can really explain it. I admit I'm not a networking guy. I'm a programmer, so I can get by with my networking, but I'm pretty sure that both of those scenarios are pretty rough, and it's certainly anything is possible. We're hackers. We know that, but as far as there being a cheap, easy, simple, not that you asked for it, whether it was cheap or simple or anything, but if anybody out there knows that there's a cheap, easy way to pull this off that I'm missing, by all means, email and set me straight, because I just don't see it. But, hey, what do I know? And, you know what, let's wrap up the email this week with our last email from Stack Smasher. Stack Smasher says, any word on when, if ever, Freak Factor will be back? Thanks, and always keep up the good work. Well, thank you, Stack Smasher. All I can say is, everybody listening, email Not Theory and yell at him about it. It's sitting right on the edge of done. I mean, it's right there. We've been testing it. I know Ratchet and I have talked about it on the show, and we both have thought it's right there. It's so close to being done, but we haven't quite gotten through the testing. We'll be up with Not Theory when he gets time to test it, and we'll run into a little snag and just some little small glitch that has to be ironed out. And just hasn't quite gotten done. But it's sitting right there, teetering, ready to go. And it's just, oh, it's kind of frustrating. So I don't want to put out any more teasers, because it could come out tomorrow. Could come out in 6 months. And truthfully, now that we have switched servers, once again, I know he's going to start yelling at me, and I'm going to break down and cry. Oh, I'm just so tired of the abuse. But you know, it's all worthwhile when, you know, we end up making sweet, sweet love down by the fire and having makeup sex. So, kind of makes it all worthwhile, I guess. And on that note, why don't we switch into our main topic of the day. And the main topic of this show is April Fool's Day. Yeah, sorry, nothing as dramatic as stack smashing and some of the other things we talked about. But I think a lot of people have some questions about not only our April Fool's stuff, but April Fool's in general. I had to take a drink there, guys. It's rough to sit here and talk nonstop by myself. Maybe I should, like, change voices and pretend I have a different co-host with me. Maybe I should do, like, have Beavis co-host or have somebody else. I'll do voices, but that would really strain my throat. But let's talk about April Fool's Day a little bit, because it's really, I know it sounds kind of funny, but it's really one of my favorite holidays. It's something I look forward to every year, especially because of the, I don't know, there's kind of a tradition on the global interweb for April Fool's Day, and it's growing year after year. A lot of people are realizing that it's kind of fun. You got one day that you can, you know, kind of trick people and play some pranks on each other and stuff like that, and it's more traditional than anything else, but, you know, everybody has fun with it. Sites, you know, like Slashdot, for example. Slashdot always does something. This year, they kind of put up some fake dig this knockoff where they pretended like they were allowing their users to dig and vote up stories and things like that. And not only did they do that, but if you read some of them, they were kind of funny, the notes and the comments that were on them. So Slashdot always does something fun, so everybody always checks them out. I like ThinkGeek always does some pretty funny stuff. They always put up fake products. And I'd be curious to see how many people actually try to buy them. So every year they'll make up some fake products that they'll put in there as real items to sell. So that's always really funny. Some of those, because when you think about it, if you wanted to make up products, you can make up some pretty silly stuff and make up some pretty funny ones. And actually this year, I think, apparently one of the fake items that they made, I think it was an 8-bit tie is what they call it, which was like this old retro-looking tie with these ugly big block graphics on it. I think I heard from somebody that was actually so popular, people were actually trying to order it, that they're actually going through with making a real item out of that, that they're actually making a real tie. Maybe that's a continuous April Fool's joke that's not really true, but somebody told me that was actually a real product now, because people actually wanted this ugly 8-bit tie with these big block pixels on it. So that's kind of cool. ThinkGeek always does something fun like that every year. eBay did some stuff this year. They had what they called, quote, unbelievable deals, like selling flying carpets, and I think there was one where you could get your face on Mount Rushmore or something like that. I don't know if that was a buy it now or if that was a bid on thing, but again, kind of the funny idea of you can make stuff up and have some fun with it. I don't know if... I'm not a big eBay user, to be honest with you, but I don't know if eBay has done that traditionally. I just heard about it this year, and I don't know if they did anything last year, if that's something they do every year or not. So maybe somebody who knows eBay could email in and let me know. Google, of course, is famous. They always do something every year. And this year, they did a couple things. One of them that was kind of funny was, and made you kind of do a double take, was that they offered the ability to print out your Gmail and have it delivered to you. They could actually mail you your email, which is kind of a funny concept, especially any of us in the business world that have actually seen this happen. Some high managers that still to this day refuse to use the global interweb, refuse to use email, whether it's from ignorance, laziness, whatever, or they simply can't comprehend or figure out how to use the computer machine in their office. And they'll have secretaries actually print off the emails for them. A lot of high-end executives in big companies don't have it. They'll have their assistants or secretaries or whatnot go through the email, weed through them, answer even some of them, and only deliver the ones that they think are important enough to be dealt with. So that's not uncommon, printing it out. But obviously, when you're offering that to everybody on the global interweb who has an Gmail account, that's kind of different. I was actually thinking maybe I should write a little routine in there, write a little script that would actually print out pie, and have them send that to me. That would be a nice long printout. But I guess if I could figure out how to email to get pie into an email continuously somehow, I could deserve it. But the other thing that Google did this year was they announced something called, I think it was TISP, which was a toilet internet service provider where you could install the equipment into your toilet to get internet access. Now, again, I'm sorry I have issues with Google. Google, guess what? We invented war-shitting a long time ago. Admit you stole the idea from us. War-shitting was copyright and trademark, or I guess technically it was open Creative Commons license, so I guess they can take war-shitting. But anyway, we invented war-shitting a long time ago, so that was our idea first, Google. Thank you very much. Oh, Blizzard is another one that I've always liked. They've always done some cool jokes. I'm not a big gamer, but I am a Blizzard fan. I think they make great games. And honestly, I don't play any of their games right now. I can't get into that World of Warcraft. I'll get addicted and I'll be up all night playing the freaking thing, so I've avoided that. But I still go to their website on April Fool's Day because I know they make great jokes on the site. They even go all out. They make a nice page, fake art, screenshots, and whatnot. So this year they introduced a new item called the tinfoil helmet for World of Warcraft, which was kind of cool and pretty doggone funny, actually. So that was kind of cool. And maybe on a more hackerish note, the Pirate Bay, which probably people outside of this community might not even care or notice that they know they did this, but they made an announcement that they would be moving to North Korea to have some protection in the embassy there because of their recent drama. All right, so yeah, blah, blah, enough already. We don't need to hear about all the April Fool's jokes on the global interweb. The tubes are filled with April Fool's jokes. But, you know, the only one that really matters is BenRev, right? What did BenRev do for April Fool's Day? Because, you know, it seems that we confused the hell out of a lot of people. So let me clarify it, because it's actually kind of a funny story, truthfully. Well, let's go back a couple of years, actually. Like I said, I've kind of made April Fool's Day a tradition. I've done that for the longest time. We've always played some kind of prank. And the other thing, too, is it's pulling off a simple prank. You know, we could easily put up a thing that says, you know, OMG, BenRev has been busted by the feds and Stank Dog's in jail and, you know, stuff like that. We've never taken the easy way out. We've never done anything silly like that. You know, we did the OMG ponies last year, which was kind of funny, which totally by coincidence is what Slashdot did. They went with the ponies theme as well. It was a couple of years ago, actually, we did do not exactly a Stank Dog has been busted type thing, but what we did was we made the announcement that I had been taken in for questioning. Not for myself, but because, and see, this is where you got to throw a little bit of social engineering. Everybody knows that it's April Fool's Day. You've got to figure out some way to cast a little bit of doubt in there. Because no one's going to believe anything you say on April Fool's Day. You put up a thing that says Stank Dog's been busted, blah, blah, blah. It's not going to sell very well. Everybody's going to be like, yeah, ha, ha, how obvious, April Fool's joke, blah, blah. Well, we kind of take a little time each year to try to come up with something a little bit creative and unique. And that one we did was kind of funny because we posted up and said that I had been brought in for questioning. Well, that's could have left it right there, saying that I was busted or that the site was busted or something. We didn't do that. We actually spun it a little bit to say, no, I'm not being busted. I'm being questioned because one of our forum members posted something illegal on the site. And I'm being asked to give up that information of who it is. Now, it's still, if that was in and of itself, you know, just saying that I'm taken in for questioning is one thing, but saying that it's because I'm refusing to divulge information on other people in the forums, what that does is it plants that seed of doubt in people's mind, because there were people, and I'm not going to drop names, but we have a lot of logs from all that too for our own fun and internal purposes, of people who were really freaked out because they started thinking, well, wait a minute, I wonder if it's me. I wonder what I posted in the forums. Oh my gosh, I need to go delete this. Oh, I need to go find and edit that. People started really freaking out in IRC. Some of them legitimately, some of them were like, you know what? It is April Fool's Day, but just in case, I'm going to go delete stuff. When we pulled that, I got more PMs from people saying that they wanted their accounts deleted and they wanted their posts deleted because they freaked out because of the whole thing. And then the other little extra touch that I threw in there is everybody also knows that one of our other big sites is oldschoolfreak.com, which is run by Natus. So when it started to go sour and people started to think that maybe it was an April Fool's prank and it wasn't real after all, I sent a quote-unquote text message to Natus, a fake text message to Natus, that he put up on oldschoolfreak.com. I don't know if it's archived over there. We might have to dig it up for reference purposes. Where I sent a text message to Natus from my questioning. I was being questioned, and I somehow was able to get a text message off to Natus to post on oldschoolfreak.com to let everybody know that I didn't cave, I didn't sell out and drop docs on everybody. I'm still holding to the, you know, staying true to the users of the site and not dropping that information, which, truthfully, I would fight pretty doggone hard if it ever did come to that in real life, but let's hope that it never does. And text message kind of would be transparent, but to sell it, once again, throw a little bit of a social engineering into the whole thing. Not only did I send Natus a text message, I sent, of course it was fake, it was emailed to him, or we talked about it over the phone, I emailed it to him because I know what the limits of a text message are and how many texts you can send on one line before it does a line break. It's not a continuous thing, it's not easy to put everything in together like an email. So I sent it as though it were in four or five different separate text messages because I didn't have enough space to type it out. I also threw in some, I won't say leet speak, I threw in some text speak because, you know, when you're typing from those thumb keyboards, you want to take shortcuts and you use a lot of initials and whatnot, make all the jokes about MySpace and teenage girls texting each other you want. It's true, especially in my circumstances. So I sent a message saying to the effect of, don't have a lot of time to talk. Of course, when you're in abbreviated and made to look chunked up, all chunky because I was abbreviating words and shortening the messages and keeping it all short and sweet, which further sold the joke. So when that went up on oldschoolfreak.com, it kind of reintroduced people going, wow, that looks kind of real, like a real text message. Maybe it isn't a joke. So most people probably know it is, but just planting that seed of doubt helps and makes the whole process, makes it fun. Having a little fun with everybody, settle down, don't freak out. So sorry that you're without your forms for a day or you can't deal with having the SpongeBob SquarePants theme on there. You'll live with it for a day and a half until I came back. Which kind of brings us to this year's prank, which is, I gotta say, I pulled a little, got a little revenge for our users, if you will. Let me explain. The other thing I do is if I'm in IRC or something, you know, I try not to lie. I try to avoid lying to people. I've never come out and lied about any of our April Fool's joke. If people ask me questions, I'll use some social engineering skills to sidestep the question, redirect the question, choose my words carefully in the answer. For example, that was asked directly in IRC this year whether the site being hacked this year was my April Fool's Day joke, which I can honestly answer and say no. No, it is not my April Fool's Day joke. It is your moderating team's April Fool's Day joke. I had nothing to do with it. I was completely honest in answering the question, and when people ask me other things, I can dodge the question and say, no, I honestly can say that I did not do that. One thing I did admit to and did up front was change the forum skin to the SpongeBob SquarePants forum skin for a day. Again, tradition, every year we put up some funny skin of some kind. We have a little fun doing that. And I actually put that up probably 10 o'clock, 10:30 the night before, before I went to bed. And I did it in IRC, and I purposely was verbal about it. I was purposely boisterous, saying, is it April Fool's? I'm going to go ahead and pull my prank now and go to bed. And I dropped the skin into place so that everybody saw it. And that plants the seed that, oh, well, that's all he's doing this year is changing the skin, and then I'm out. Well, that is kind of all I was doing. But, of course, I knew that your moderating team had much bigger and better plans and for you. And their plans, actually, we brought it up in the moderators forum a long time ahead. Even a couple months ago, we talked about it, and even weeks ahead when we made a decision what we're doing. Truthfully, what I was going to do was put up the SpongeBob, and my first idea was maybe I can put up a cease and desist letter later that evening on April 1st after SpongeBob had been up all day, saying that, you know, the SpongeBob people busted me for copyright infringement, even though it was up less than 24 hours. So I thought that'd be a pretty transparent, but just a little fun thing, nothing fancy. But the mods, they came up with something a little bit better. And they implemented it about a week before April Fool's Day. So the actual prank happened on the 1st, but we had to put some time into setting it up. So Ponyboy and Droops and Seal and Booter and G.I. Joe and everybody on the moderating team, they all had a little hand on this. They made up a user in the forums who went by Switchblade, great name, Leetized and everything, who came in, had the typical skitty attitude, chest pounding, I'm the greatest hacksaw in the world kind of attitude, which, well, you know, sometimes people do that. So it was an easy sell. People believed it is real. Lots of replies to his threads that people bought it. Lots of PMs from people complaining about him. And the mods, of course, behind the scenes pretending that they didn't know any better. And one of the things that we agreed that we would have to do to sell it is we have to treat it as though he really were a troll. So we would let the person talk for a little bit, knowing that full and well it was us that was posting. Everybody was taking turns posting, except me. Taking turns posting, and then within a few minutes, hours later, ban the user like we would anybody else who broke the rules. But then our good, persistent hacker Switchblade would go back in under a different email, create a new account, and come back in and continue his flamage and talking and trash talking and whatnot, and once again we would keep handling it. And the moderating team had done that quite well, I must say, and I even stepped in and said, okay, guys, we're going to handle this the way we do. Here's the rules of the forum. Again, at no time did I lie or say anything otherwise, but played along with it, tried to sell the prank as best I could. And then Switchblade started making his threats against the site about how he could own us all and take Ben Rev down. Well, this is where the story gets fun for me. And see, this is where I'm looking out. I'm looking out for the listeners. I'm looking out for the users of our site. This is where I stepped in and said, okay, pulling a prank on our users is one thing. But do the mods really think that they're going to get away with pulling this off and be immune from an April Fool's Day prank themselves? No, 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 no. I can't let that happen. I'm trying to look out for everybody, right? I'm trying to look out for y'all. They're not going to be immune to this. So, I didn't let anybody else know about this. I just came up with the idea myself that said, you know what I'm going to do? The mods are having a lot of fun at the expense of the users. I did give them one rule. I said they can't put the Switchblade guy in the newbie HQ because I do want to keep that clean. And I told them that any of the trash-talking stuff that he does, eventually I want it moved as quickly as possible and treated like we would normally do and move it to the bit box. Well, what I did is, on April Fool's Day, that morning, the mods were just having fun, still posting whatnot, posting things. Right Coast made up a fake hacked page for us to put on the site. Once I got that from him, it was time to implement my April Fool's Day prank. And my April Fool's Day prank was to, you know, they've already created Switchblade. They've done all the hard work. All I got to do is go in, abuse my admin powers, and ban the entire moderating team. Under the name Switchblade, of course. So I made it appear as though Switchblade banned the entire moderating team, and Iron Geek as well, who was in there talking a little trash, who was also in on it. So, alright, well, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I had country talk, what can I tell you? I banned all the moderating teams, so no moderators had access to the forums on April 1st, and actually well into April 2nd, truth be told. And I changed the admin password so that even Seal, the forums administrator, could not get in there. Sorry, Seal, had to do it. Sorry, I had to have a little bit of fun at everybody's expense. So everybody that was in the forums was complaining and wondering, if Switchblade, did he really hack it? You had that believability factor. You had that maybe it's true. You had all that stuff going on. And the moderators didn't seem to be doing anything about it. And then I logged in and started posting a Switchblade saying, hey, I've owned all the moderators' accounts. I started changing their signature files. I started reactivating the Switchblade accounts, saying that Switchblade had gotten root to the site, which also sold the believability that he had hacked the site. It made it possible. It made it believable, which was the only goal. I don't expect everybody to believe it. I expect everybody to have fun and laugh at it. So I think that was something that we accomplished pretty well. So I went to bed that night and agree that, yes, I left the forum skin up and the hacked page up overnight. I didn't take it down till the next day when I got home from work. So it did go a little longer than the first. It went into the second by a few hours. But I cleaned it up then, gave the moderators their powers back to a nice little message waiting for them. I also sent them all, if anybody cares, just because I am an ass, I sent them all an email from the administrator as Switchblade saying, boom, headshot! So they all enjoyed that. So, moderators, sorry you got caught up in the crossfire, but you know what? That's what you get for messing with my people. Only I can mess with my people. You see what I'm saying here? So, anyway, that was pretty much what happened. I even went to sell the hacked page a little bit better. I got on, cleared the hacked page up, put my original page back for a few hours so that people saw that we were actually trying to fix it. Because if somebody hacked the site, everybody knows I'm going to get on and investigate and fix it and get it back up and running. If I left it up all day, it's obvious. So I went on there after a couple hours and fixed it, quote-unquote fixed it, which meant put the original page back. And then a few more hours after that, I put up yet another hacked page with new comments on it, as though Switchblade had rehacked the site. So went back and forth a few times to sell it as well. So I think a few people bought it a little bit, even if they don't admit it and may not have completely bought it. Everybody had a little fun with it, so I thought that was pretty good. Don't know what we're going to do next year. We got a year to think about it. Got a year ahead of time to come up with some good ideas, but be prepared. Something's going to happen. Keep your eyes open. You have been warned, and you will forget by next year, so we'll see. I guess I'm going to go ahead and wrap up with that. I could go into some other things. I'll briefly, again, talk about the fact that we moved servers once again. So bear with us if you do have any, run into any problems or any glitches, any errors, anything like that. For the most part, we are up and running on the new boxes. Mail does seem to be working. It was a much smoother transition this time. Nick84 and I split the workload up, and, of course, the support from Caro.net was really helpful, getting this box set up initially, configure it the way we wanted. So all that went fairly well. So we will probably go into some more detail on that later. But right now we are very happy with what we've got. So I guess with that I'll segue into the shouts. I will, of course, go ahead. I'll give shouts to Hesham and Russell and everybody over at Caro.net for helping us get moved over to the new server. The last host sucked pretty bad, so definitely give them shouts out. And to Natus, to Thomas Icom, to Acidus, all of them had articles in the current 2600 magazine, I noticed, so I've got that sitting here. Might be my reading for tonight while you're listening to the show, because this is, boy, I got to start mixing this to get this up tonight. That's how close I cut it, and that's how dedicated I am to get Ben Rev Radio back on the, in the tubes, I guess, not on the air, in the tubes or something like that. So, yeah, as mentioned earlier, Binary Revolution Radio's hosting is provided by Caro.net, so check them out, and that'll give me an easy site of the week so I can be lazy and say www.caro.net. Cool, because they're their own data center, which I also like a lot. Their own data center, so I don't have any more resellers, which are our last host. That was one of the problems, is they're a reseller, so they don't have physical access to a lot of things, and frankly, they don't care. Anyway, that's a long story. We'll go into that later. Email us if you have feedback of any kind, radio@benrev.com, as always. Our closing music from tonight, Nice treat, MC Frontalot, my good friend. This is the title track from his new album. It's called Secrets from the Future. Go order the new album, frontalot.com. It is awesome. I've been listening to the advance copy for a while now, the gold. It is available on the site to order now, so go buy this album. It's really good. It's got some great tracks on it. This is the title track, Secrets from the Future. And closing the show out, we lied. I guess that makes me a liar last week. Our closing phrase last time, we said next week. Obviously, it wasn't next week. It's just, what, 3 weeks later, a month later. But we will close out the show this week to tell you that hopefully we'll see you next week. Same hack time, same hack channel.
Get your most closely kept personal file. Put it in the word doc with the password lock. Sock it deep in the raw with extraction precluded by the ludicrous length and the strength of a reputed dictionary attack. Proof string of characters. This imperative to thwart all that is averages of privacy. The NSA and Homelessness. You better PGP the raw because so far they ain't impressed. You better take the PGP and print the hex of it out. Scan that into a TIFF. Then if you secret out for your data, scramble up the order of the pixels with a one-time pad that describes the fun time had. Like a thick soul boot-wearing stomper who danced to produce random claptrap. All the intervals in between which set in tandem with the stomps themselves begat a seed of math unguessable. Ain't no complaint about the cipher that's redressable. Best of all, your secret, nothing extant could extract it. By 2025, a children speaking spell could crack it. You can't hide secrets from the future with math. You can try, but I bet that in the future they laugh at the half-fast schemes and algorithms of mass doing voice cryptographs in the past. Can't hide secrets from the future with math. You can try, but I bet that in the future they laugh at the half-fast schemes and algorithms of mass doing voice cryptographs in the past. In future, people do not give a damn about your shopping, your Visa number, SSL to cherry popping, hot ramp by action websites that you visit, nor password protected partitions, no matter how illicit. And this it would seem is your saving grace, like amazing haste to people to forget your name, your face, your litanous list of indefensible indiscretions. In fact, the only way that you could pray to make impression on the era ahead is if instead of being notable, you make the data describing you undecodable. The script kiddies sifting in that relic called the internet, seeking latches on treasure chests that they could wreck in seconds, would they and yet get a chance to queue up for this assembly, to discover and crack the cover like a creme brulee. They'll glance you over, I guess, and then for a bare moment you'll persist to exist. Almost seem like you're there, don't it? But you're not, you're here, your name will fade as fronts will. That's in the future, they don't know our crypt variables still. You can't hide secrets from the future with math. You can try, but I bet that in the future they laugh at the half-fast schemes and algorithms of mass doing voice cryptographs in the past. You can't hide secrets from the future with math. You can try, but I bet that in the future they laugh at the half-fast schemes and algorithms of mass doing voice cryptographs in the past. Now it's an Enigma machine. A code yelled out at hot bombs into a tin can with a thin string. And that ain't all you do to broadcast clear text of your intention. Send an email to the government pledging your abstention from vote fraud this time. Next time, can't promise you don't get a visit from the Department of Piranhas. Be honest, you ain't hacking those, it'd be too easy. Setting up the next president, pretending that you were through freezing. When you're nothing but warming up, to-do list in your diary. Better keep for a long time, and the long time better be tiring. Into the distribution of electrical brains that are guessing every unsalted hash that ever came. They got alien technology to make the rainbow tables with. Been in an afternoon of glance and have them secrets. Don't resist the loving coats of the mathematical calculation. Heart of your mystery sent free falling to palpitation. Comp your tunnel, rise up in the dunk, a free agent. Nobody knows the future now, go find out, be patient. You can't hide secrets from the